Hello, I'm Angela Walsh, and welcome to the Downhill Slide. Now, this podcast is about being, well, I guess over the age of 50, middle age, whatever you want to call it, and that it might be kind of the second half of your life, but it's not necessarily the worst half. And today I have the fabulous Tony with me.
Hi all, here I am.
Now, I wanted to talk to you, Tony. Actually, I'll be honest, I've been frightened about talking with you.
No.
Yeah, because you are one of these people who are, you're confident, you've got a dynamic personality, and how old are you?
59 next month.
See, I would never have picked you for 59 because, I don't know, sometimes you keep those things that you have as a kid when you think of somebody who's almost 60 as being old.
Yes, you do.
I would never call you old though, because
Thank you, Angela.
Are dynamic and you're full of energy. And so tell me, have you always been like that?
Always. Always confident, even as an 18-year-old, even as a 15-year-old. You know, I started working in fashion when I was 16 in retail. So I've always been involved in sales, retail, promotional, all communication.
And dealing with the public.
And dealing with the public.
Because I notice, you know, you have a really nice way about you communicating with other people. You walk into a room, you know almost everybody there. I don't know how you remember names, seriously.
That's disappearing with age at the moment, Ange. The mind's not as good as it was with remembering names.
Well, actually, we were talking about it's not just your mind, but your body changes too as you get older.
Yes.
And especially as a woman, you've always been pretty fit.
Yep, always been pretty fit. Mind you, when at school, yeah, athletics, all schools athletics, captain, fit there. Early 20s, probably into 40s, not so much.
Okay.
So I really sort of didn't pick up at the gym until my 40s.
Right. Because you felt like that was the time you needed, because you're long and lean. You probably never had to work too hard to keep your shape.
Ever. Mm. Ever. So that's an interesting thing, having to deal with getting older now, because obviously your shape changes.
Mm.
You know, as a woman, you go through menopause, you lose your shape, which is not that much fun, especially when you've been tiny all your life. Even though, you know, I look okay now, but for me, it's not like I used to be. But I think, you know, that comes with aging, and I think it's just sort of dealing with that fact. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to be thin and gorgeous to enjoy life.
Do you get down about it though?
Not heavily down. I sort of think, oh God, wish my tummy would go.
Yeah.
But no, because I still like to dress up. I still like to look good. And as you said, I've got height, so I'm lucky there. Probably like to lose a couple of kilos, but to do that, I've got to get back into the gym, don't I?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And I guess during COVID, that was the thing. People just stopped going because they weren't able to.
Yeah.
And then when the gyms did open again, it was only so many people.
Yeah.
And you kind of get, after a couple of years, you get a bit, should I say, lazy? Is that
lazy
really
is
the word?
A great word. Or unmotivated, comfortable, unmotivated, lazy, thinking, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Mm, yeah. Well, and I guess that's the thing too, because I don't know, recently I just got into that slump of going, what does that matter? What does it matter?
I've been doing that.
Yeah, and you've got to snap out of that.
Really hard. You do, and it's a mind thing. You know, when I was regularly at the gym, I used to wake up, not think about it, winter or summer, jump out of bed, throw gym clothes on, don't have a coffee, don't have anything, get in the car, go to the gym. Because if you lie in bed and you start thinking about it, you start going, do I really want to do this? Is this me today? Oh, look, you know what? I can do this tomorrow.
Yeah. And you don't want to be in that.
No, you get into that rut. And like I said, I was never a gym junkie. I didn't get to a gym till 40 plus, never, which is interesting, you know. And they say, you know, you can start going to a gym at any age, which you can, but everyone's different, everyone has different needs. You know, when you're in your 40s and your 50s, cardio is not that great necessarily, because you don't have the same energy as a 20 or 30 year old, but weight resistance is for your bones. But people don't realise too, when you're doing weights, that's also cardio.
So I know you mentioned something to me about being in the Guinness Book of Records for doing.
I did.
So
claim to fame.
When was that? Wait, explain.
Okay, so that was when I was still living on the Northern Beaches, and I was heavily into the gym then, and I actually trained for this. So it was a Guy Leach Guinness Book of Records challenge at Queenscliff Beach for the most people to turn up and actually do. I think there were 10 stations. So he would stand at the top and the trainers would stand at the top on the wall.
Yeah.
All the people that were in it were down on the sand. They'd start it and you'd have to do a number of exercises each station.
And you did that?
Did it. Nearly killed me, but did it. Could I do it now? Nope.
And that was in your 40s?
That was in my 40s.
So why did you want to do it?
Just the challenge of being able to do it. And the gym that I was at, which I think was Body Shape at Warringah Mall, all the trainers were doing it. So we just got a whole group together from that gym.
I did that with yoga. I did like a 30-day challenge. And this is pretty hardcore Bikram yoga and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I did a 30-day challenge with everybody else. I was smashed by the end of it. I just went, I never want to do this again.
It's hard. And 30 days is a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes.
Well, you would have had to train for how long?
Oh, well, I'd train at the gym. Like I'd be at the gym 3 days a week, which is, I've never gone more than 3 days a week. So when you go to a gym and what trainers always say to you, it doesn't matter how often, it's about the consistency. You just got to keep doing it. Even if you can only do 1 day a week, be consistent in doing that day. But I was doing 3 days and I was boxing. I was doing all sorts of things. And, yeah, we trained specifically for that event. Which it was a lot of fun, but bloody hell nearly killed me.
Did you go to the pub afterwards? Or were you just so exhausted you went home?
It started, went to be at the beach at 6 a.m. and it wasn't warm when we did it. So no, did not go to the pub after.
Yeah, okay.
It was a lot of fun though. It was something different. It was a challenge. Also, I've also done the pub to pub from DY Beach running all the way to Palm Beach.
Now, that's a great thing to do, isn't it?
That like, nearly
it
just killed me too.
But you did it.
I did it with Dylan, my
son.
Oh,
with your son.
So Dylan and I did it together. And my husband, which people may know as Farmer Phil, he drove and he met us at the other end. So that was a 14K walk run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're quite good. I used to do those too when I was in Brisbane and that was fun and similar sort of thing. And if you get a nice clear day, it's fantastic.
Beautiful, yeah. And that run down the hill to Palm Beach with everyone lining down the side is great.
It's a good feeling when you can do it.
Good feeling when you've completed it.
So do you think it changes? Like you've said a couple of times, like you couldn't do it now. So you wouldn't attempt something like that, but would you still attempt some kind of challenge and just give it your best shot?
Look, if I wanted to and I put my mind to it, yeah. Mm. And look, if I was back into the fitness and back at the gym and training, I could probably do it again.
Would you need other people to do it with you? Do you prefer that
No.
or do you just like to do it yourself?
I like to train on my own. Mm. So I will get a program and I'm very diligent. Mm. So I have a program and I stick to it. And I beat myself up if I don't do enough sets. It's like, no, I've got to do this set. When really you don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just and you like I change it up every 8 weeks. So, but I've got to get back to the gym to be able to do that.
Yeah,
Angela,
well,
don't I?
Yes, as we've mentioned.
Tomorrow's a good day. You never know.
Go this afternoon.
Yay.
No, because you were out partying last night, weren't you?
I know. You're so lucky you've got me here today.
I know. Well, I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
That's okay.
But this is another issue. This is about as you get older, people sometimes imagine that's it. Well, your life is done. You can't go out anymore. I mean, we all know I don't go out because I'm just a cave dweller and I'm a bit of a nerd.
Yeah, we'll change that.
But you like to go out, you like to socialise.
I love socialising and I like to socialise anywhere. You know, I can go to any place on my own and probably know someone, especially in the Highlands.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, I am a social butterfly. Always have been, always will be. I will be at 80.
Who's the most famous person you've ever encountered or met with?
Oh, many, because I used to work in the music industry.
Oh.
So Michael Hutchins was quite a friend of mine.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So that's a big name you're dropping there.
It is a big one, and that was when I was living in Darlinghurst in the heady days of the 80s. There are many famous people I've met. Sting. There used to be a place in King's Cross or Potts Point called the Siebel Townhouse, which I'm sure many people of our era know about. And that's where a lot of the music celebrities frequented, especially after big shows. I knew the owners quite well of the Siebel. I even got put up there for 2 weeks whilst moving house.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty cool. So.
Well, it's all very cool. Just to mention Michael Hutchins and Sting in the same breath.
Annie Lennox.
Oh my God!
And I used to have hair like Annie, the platinum short
blonde. I've seen a picture of you. You look fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. You know, Divinyls, good friends. Many of the '80s bands, the All Nighters. So I've met many, many musos.
And here I was thinking you were going to drop the name of some business person who was famous, but now you're rattling off all these amazing, amazing music stars.
Yeah, many.
And the '80s was a big time, wasn't it? I mean,
best time.
It was incredible.
So much better than our best time. Eighties, nineties was the best time for live music.
And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being a kid or not talking about anything else. We're talking about just the activity that was out there.
Absolutely.
It was real rock and roll back then, wasn't
real
it?
Real rock and roll. And it's not like it these days, unfortunately.
Well, depends on how you look at it.
Depends on the music you like.
It's a very different world.
It is.
And I wonder about music, actually, because now we only have streaming services. That's pretty much all we've got. Gone are the days where you'd wait for an album to come out and you'd line up and you'd have meet and greets by the bands afterwards and stuff like that. You'd be looking. They'd be everywhere, you know, and you'd get them to sign your CD or your tape or your vinyl, whatever it was. That doesn't really – it's not quite the same now, is it?
It's not. And obviously, too, over the last couple of years with COVID and everything that's gone on, it's lesser and lesser. But, yeah, you're right. You don't go and wait outside your record shop to go and buy an album, which is a shame, I think.
Well, that was one of the kind of fun things. And if you didn't get it and somebody else did and you had to order or...
Yeah, absolutely. And meet and greets, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when I worked in the music industry for BMG Records, we used to have lots of meet and greets. So,
when I was in radio, of course, you'd get added. You knew there was an album launch coming, or they were starting a tour. You'd get the bands, if not all of them, some of them in the studio. Sometimes they would play, and they'd be live. They'd be doing their thing. I know a little bit of that happens now, but it didn't have the same energy.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Because it's already been leaked online, or it's whatever.
Nothing's new with the internet. Everything is just so fast. It's just instant gratification, which is what the world wants these days, and especially kids these days. They want it instantly, which is a shame because you don't get the build up. You know, you don't get to sort of ring your mate and say, "Oh, I'm going to go and wait for this." Or it's just very, very different. And I do think it's a shame.
This is where my age is telling, and I also don't have young children, so I'm not really sure how this goes. But could you imagine if the Beatles existed today and they came to Australia like they did back in the 60s and there was that screaming and squealing and people at the airport and people, you know. Do you think Molly Meldrum trying to get make his way?
ABBA, same thing.
Would it be the same today, do you reckon?
Look. I think it could be. I think it could be because it's that tactile thing of being involved with something special.
Yeah.
So, you know, and depending on who it is, if there was enough beat up about it and enough frenzy created, it could well be.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could well be.
I don't know.
I don't know if it'll be as big as what it was, you know. But again, as we said, it's like because everything's streamed, everyone thinks they know everyone personally.
But also they're sitting on the tarmac sending something to Instagram.
I know.
Or it's just
like
they're there already.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we'll go to the airport to see so-and-so. But because they're on the tarmac. Oh, yeah, we know they're on the tarmac because they just posted it to socials.
Yeah, which is a shame. Nothing is sort of new and the build-up isn't there because you're exactly right. They post all the time. People post things all the time. So you miss that excitement.
And with the Queen's Jubilee, I admit, I love the Queen.
Oh, my God, you're a queenie.
I love her. And I'm sitting there.
I like
there.
It.
I didn't watch the whole thing, right? But I'm sitting there thinking, is she going to come out at the end? Is she? It's that sort of, you don't know. Mm. You're hoping, but the woman is 96 and she's frail.
Yeah.
Is she going to come out and stand there? She did. The excitement of all the people that were there to enjoy the concert, that were waiting to see her. That's the sort of energy I'm talking about. I don't think, and she's 96. She's not going to Insta it.
No.
Someone
else for her might.
That's right.
She's got her own Insta.
Kate will.
Personal Insta.
Well. But I was thinking about that, how, you know, just, oh. And that was the same when you had those bands.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is.
It's a real shame.
Should we just get rid of it all, Tony?
I would love to just get rid of it all, Angela. Just go back. Just back to how we all were. Just, you know, just slower.
Slower, but there was that excitement there.
There was that excitement. It's, again, as I said, now everything is instant gratification. People can't wait. You know, you have to have instant gratification.
And your phone with you all the time.
All the time.
Seeing what other people are doing.
And what is it? FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Which I think is really sad.
Yeah. Oh, well, we always had that, didn't we? But in a different
context.
Yeah. I remember at school, like I went to a private girls' school. And
me too.
You had your uniforms and then when you had the day when you could – wear your
Mufti Day, I believe it was called.
And then you saw what other people were wearing and you go, oh. And then suddenly you were, oh, I don't know, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? That kind of thing happened.
I never had that issue.
Well, no.
I never thought like that.
See, this is the difference in our personalities.
I never thought like that because I liked to be different. I liked to dress differently. I went through my punk stages where I had two-toned hair.
Yeah.
You know, I went through all sorts of different variations, musically as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I like to stand out.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, I had to learn to do that because I was always different.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it came to, as you can tell, I'm no fashion special.
We're going to change that, Ange. We're going to Canberra.
Working on me, yeah.
Hang on, that doesn't sound that good actually, no. Fashion in Canberra.
Well, it's one of those things where you do have to learn as you get older. And I think, I don't care anymore.
No.
Like it doesn't bother me if I'm not dressed in the latest outfit or whatever. I am who I am.
Yep.
And I think age has made me that way.
Absolutely.
But you still, as a woman, you kind of want to be, you still want to look your best.
Yep.
Example, saw my passport photo.
So did I.
I know you got one recently too.
Yes.
You renewed your passport. How old was it between, how many years between your passport?
Oh, not that long. Ours only expired last year.
Okay, but how long did
10.
You know, so 10 years?
10 years.
Did you look at those two photos? Did you shed a little tear?
Yeah, I did look at those two photos and yes, I did shed a little tear.
Because I just I looked at it and I just went, oh. Who is that?
Oh, wow. Look at the difference.
I know.
10 years is a lot of time.
Even worse, I showed my husband.
And what did he think?
He went, oh, yeah, you look older. Yeah, thank you. You know, that's not the point. You're supposed to say, you still look beautiful.
And I'm sure he did after.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
Oh. He was already on his phone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Checking what happened.
There you go.
Facebook Marketplace.
Deary me. Yeah, passport photos aren't the most flattering, unfortunately.
Well, they never are.
Wish you could smile.
We know that. I know. If you could smile, you'd feel
much
bit better. Yeah. But I think that also, you have to find some way of accepting that person in the mirror. Not just your weight.
Everything.
Everything about it, isn't it?
Yeah, you do.
And find a way to say, okay, I'm confident in this.
This is me. Whether you go to the gym, whether you're overweight, whether you own it.
Mm,
you own it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, as you know, just going to the pub, I like to get dressed up and people say to me, where are you off to? And I said, I'm here.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
One of the managers I had once, she always used to say people said she dressed over the top, but she said, well, why not? Absolutely. I like these clothes. I've got a day ahead. This is what I'm going to wear.
Absolutely.
And I thought, you know what?
Good on you.
All right. Yeah. You can't wear tracksuit pants every day.
No, no, but you can dress them up.
Yeah. Well, you can also...
Active wear, I believe it's called.
Yeah, active wear. It's different now.
It is.
People do wear their active wear out.
Some shouldn't, but they do.
Some shouldn't. But see, are we looking at that from our generation coming up about how you should dress? I mean, your mum is fantastic. She always looked great.
And that's where it came from. So fashion has always been, mum's always been a fashionista.
Yeah.
She was model back in the day. That's how she met dad. She was a house model.
Oh.
She was his house model.
Right.
And so fashion's always been a big part. Me more so than my younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more conservative and couldn't care less, but I like my clothes. I like clothes. I like bling. I like to look nice.
And did you shop with your mum? Did she guide you in that way? I think it was just something that you're born with.
Just born with. No, I didn't do a lot of clothes shopping with mum.
What about your sister? Did you argue about that sort of stuff? You look awful, or what are you wearing that for?
No, not really. No, none of that. No arguing about what you've got on. But it was always a joke because mum and I used to ring each other and say, what are you wearing if we're all going out? And that's always a joke with my brother and my sister. Oh, I can't believe you two have rung each other to work out what you're wearing.
That's hilarious. What about your brother, though? Is he fashion?
He's an IT guy. He's a knit man. So he loves labels. So does my sister-in-law. So, yes, they love their good fashion. They're good looking. They love to look good. They love to work out a bit too much.
Well, your son, I noticed your son the other day. I saw him in this beautiful suit.
Yes.
And I thought, now look at you taking after your mother there.
Absolutely. Yeah. He loves good clothes too. He likes to look nice and he likes good quality clothes.
It is, I guess, not just a social thing. Like for families, they can instill in you, I guess, your parents or your grandparents. When I was a kid growing up, because the house was a little bit away from town, my aunt would always say, okay, change your clothes. We're going to town. Put the spray on. You know, we'd be going to get the paper because we'd go into town to get the paper once a day.
Yeah.
I had to get dressed. I go, why, Jane? Why? Get those shorts off, put a dress on.
You're not wearing those outside.
That's right.
Never had any of that, which is interesting, but always instilled first impressions count.
Mm. And they still do, don't they?
Yeah, they
do. With anything.
They do.
And I guess you just also have to... As you said before, own it. If you do make the wrong impression, do you reckon you get second chances though?
Oh, I think so.
Mm.
Yeah, I think so. Depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just reckon we all stuff up. And
we're humans. Every human stuffs up. It doesn't matter how wealthy, how poor, how well dressed you are. We're humans. You know, we're not infallible.
So you give it a second go, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went for a job once, music industry, and because I was in radio and radio is not the best payer in the world.
No.
Except for Carl and Jackie.
Neither is music industry, neither is entertainment industry.
You do it because you love it, right?
Absolutely.
So I thought, I might go for this other job, try and work for this label. And I rocked up. I had the silk shirt on. I had some nice pants. I was dressed really nice. I went and bought a nice new bag. There I was sitting in the interview. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, as soon as I walked in that door, I reckoned I stuffed it. And I didn't get the job. And then I met the because of course I ended up back in radio. And there I was at Triple M and just happened to be out near reception. I don't know what I was doing anyway. And being on air, you're just in your jeans and your T-shirt, whatever, usually a T-shirt provided by the station.
By the station, yeah.
And I overheard the rep That was the job I had gone for, and here was the rep. Oh. Same deal, wearing this sloppy T-shirt, just wearing some shorts. I didn't even know, was it thongs on his feet?
No.
And I went, what?
Not as a rep.
Yes.
You're seeing people, that's not right.
I don't know how long he lasted, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I knew I was wearing the wrong gear as soon as I walked in, but it just wasn't right. But anyway, I was back doing what I did.
That's interesting you say that, because I worked for 2CH, Macquarie Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. As selling advertising for the station. Yeah, selling airtime. But we had to dress.
Well, yes. And as far as I know, everybody else would always dress well in radio. But this guy was working for the music label, and I thought, well, surely, I don't know. But as announcers, I think this working in the Southern Highlands was the first time where I wasn't wearing the jeans and T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. Tried to dress up every day because it's a different sort of environment. The job here was a little bit different, not just on air, I guess. You're interacting with clients. And I think it's a sign of respect also for that client, isn't it?
So do I. I have an issue with seeing people that are in business that are dressed shabbily. I think it's disrespectful for the client. So I think you should always maintain a particular look, especially in business. You know, it's a lot more laid back in the Southern Highlands. So, you know, and the different industries down here, you get to see different people and what they're wearing and who they're seeing. And I do think it's more casual in the Highlands, lot more casual than if you're in the city. And I think too, because it's a closer-knit society, everyone kind of knows everyone.
Yeah.
And they're not judging on what you're wearing.
Yeah, yeah. But the city is probably a different...
Yeah, thing. Different kettle of fish.
And just one more thing, with regards to fashion, it still has to align with what you do,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like you're talking about music and...
You got to dress like you're in the music industry. You can still look great. You know, you can look hot. But, yes, I think corporate businesses, you've got your corporate look. Music businesses, if you're seeing, gone are them, record shops or clients like that. So it's very different now. You can get away with your music industry look.
I was just thinking, you know, I never ever would go out without heels, and now my arthritis is causing me issues with
that. I used to wear the highest heels. God forbid I put them on now, I'd be worried about falling over. Been doing a bit of that lately.
Well, as we do. This is another issue. You've just got to work with it. Like I said, I keep looking for little heels now because I still feel odd wearing flats, which I have to wear. Yeah. I'm supposed to wear, but if I can just get a little heel on.
A little bit of height.
Yeah, I feel more me, I guess.
Boots. Boots are the go-to because there's all size heels.
You're right.
And you've got dressy boots, you've got cowboy boots. So boots work with any outfit and they do give you that support, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can wear them here, but if you're in North Queensland, it's a bit of another issue there.
You can get away with cowboy boots in North Queensland. Come on, Ange.
Of course.
Have a nice long flowy dress on there with your cowboy boots.
See?
Perfect.
I need your advice
then. You do. Well,
we'll go shopping.
We will.
And I think we've solved the problems of the world, the fashion world. Here, which is great, because the other thing, you don't have to spend a lot of money sometimes, do you? You just have to find the things that work for you.
You know what you have to know what looks good. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to buy designer clothes to look fantastic. Mm. Absolute myth. Just make sure it looks working. Great. Like you can buy a fantastic outfit from Kmart or Target and look $1 million.
Yeah.
And then when someone says, "Where'd you get that?" you don't tell them. You just tell them a different shop.
Or tell them and just own it.
Yeah, or tell them and just own it. But, yeah, fantastic. You do not. And, you know, op shops, fantastic. Love an op shop.
Yeah.
Love an op shop. There's some great clothes you can pick up and find.
See, and I'm no good at rummaging. There you go. See, you've got to be a good rummager.
I'm less good at rummaging than I used to be. It's like, can't be bothered.
Yeah, there you go. Can't be bothered.
It's the can't be bothered thing.
Yeah, we're back at square one here. We can't
be bothered. It goes with gym. It goes with fashion. It's because many years of doing it and you get to our age and it's like, oh, you know, I really can't be bothered. I've got that. I can do with what I've got at home.
Yeah. It's take a breath kind of stuff.
It is a breath kind of stuff. It's like, do I really need to? Yeah, you know. But it's great fun. It's good finding nice pieces though.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go and rummage through lots and lots of bins.
Yeah.
To find something.
No. It's just not worth
once,
it.
Once upon a time.
I'm exhausted just thinking about that.
I am too.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, I am too.
All right, Tone, let's go and drink our cups of tea.
Sounds good.
But thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Absolute pleasure. And not shy of a microphone, as you can tell.
You're not shy of anything,
not
love.
Shy of anything. Good point.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
I love the way you own it.
Thanking you.
You take care.
And you're fantastic on a microphone, so I don't know why you talk about, you know, owning it and being this little cave dweller.
I'm happy. Well, have you looked around?
Yeah, it's lovely. Nice looking cave.
Take it easy, Tony.
Will do. Thanks, Ange.
And thank you for listening.